For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your wedding will be one of the happiest days of your life. And Blue Nile can help you celebrate it with a gift that'll last a lifetime. Whether you're looking for wedding bands, a gift for your partner, or an unforgettable thank you to your bridesmaids, Blue Nile offers a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Plus, expert guidance to ensure you find the perfect piece. Experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999, at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon Finals, Major League Baseball, all the latest fighting news, and this season's NFL. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV to get the bonus and get into action. Bet online where the game.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast with Alexis Texas, and we are back season 5. And today we have the pleasure of having Lisa Ann on the couch. Hello and welcome. I'm excited to have you here.
I am so glad we finally made this happen. I felt like I was pump faking you every time I would see you at a show and be like, I got to come on your podcast, and I know you don't do it remotely. And so when I saw you at Exotica, I was like, let me just send you the dates. Let me just for make sure. This happen. Here we are. My bags are packed. I'm going to the airport directly from here, but making this happen.
But I love that you made it happen again. I always know it's kind of one of those things at Exotica is when you see everybody, it's like chatting, but it's just like we have so many different things going on. So I wanted to like actually have a real podcast with you, not like the 20-minute ones, because I feel like you have a lot to bring to the table as far as your knowledge within the background of the business and how who you are as a person. And you're such, you know, an inspiring person to a lot of people. So I felt like you had to come on Private Talk. So
it's a pleasure. It's an honor to know that I inspire people, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you. So we just got back from Exotica, but it's all kinds of, you know, things are going, you know, we're back into the conventions. What kind of fun projects are you doing besides the conventions. Obviously, you have a lot of things going on. You have your own podcast. You do a couple podcasts, and you have your books. Like, what kind of things are you in the works right now for Miss Lisa Ann?
So, yeah, I have my podcast, Lisa Ann Experience. I do a podcast with Sapphire, which is so great because I get to meet features before their gig, whether it's somebody I know that I haven't seen in a while or someone new in the industry. And I just remember how excited I was when I first went out on the road. And then I do a show for SiriusXM Raw Comedy. It's called Better Halves. Me, comedian Brett Raybould, he's super funny, super wholesome kid from Kansas City. Shout out Brett with one T. I'm so happy to be back in studio at SiriusXM. There's just something about the first time I started doing shows there in the fantasy sports space in 2013 that makes me feel like it's really where my independence outside of the industry was birthed.
Mm.
And when I go back, and because also it's corporate and there's HR, so nobody could be creepy with me ever.
Yeah.
And everybody was so mindful of that.
Yeah.
You know, like there would be more fist bumps than hugs. And I was like, I just felt renewed there. And so to be back in the studio on out of sports, taking a little sports break and doing something where I just get to laugh and talk shit, it's amazing.
I love that. As a woman who has navigated various industries, including the adult industry and sports, what advice would you give to young women striving to defy stereotypes and pursue other action? Like you said, with the, you know, being corporate, there has a lot of, you know, like a strict rule that people couldn't kind of cross those lines or anything like that. But is there any kind of, what advice would you give?
You know, really how you present yourself to people makes such a difference. You have a strong presence and a strong entrance. And no matter how you're dressed, you have a strong enough presence, Alexis, that you can keep someone drawn to your eyes and keep them focused. And that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who wants to create change and could still be viewed a very particular way by people, it's important that you project something differently now, right? And that you have that confidence that this is who I am. This is what I'm doing here. Consistency is key with everything. And I think no matter what you did in any walk of life, being a woman makes us want to work twice as hard because we're still trying to earn equal pay. Mm. We're still trying to have complete equal rights. And so I think we go so far out of the way. That's why in the sports business, you notice so many more women succeeding. They're on the sidelines. We had our first woman for the Masters this year, which was amazing. And that's showing us, and it's because we're working harder. So just keep working harder. Don't let people frustrate you. Keep yourself, whether you have to put a post-it on your mirror of where you're going and where you want to go and how you want it to make you feel, that is your driving force. Not the opinions of others, not how other people treat you. That, you are your driving force.
I love that. Can you share any experiences where you felt empowered by embracing your femininity in a male-dominated spaces, such as the sports and adult film industry?
Yeah. I mean, adult film was easy because I got to craft sets and pick wardrobe and design things that I still take pride in when I get to go back and look at them. But in the sports space, you know, I brought in a little bit more style. I remember in 2013, my first couple conventions, I was one of two women. That's it. A couple hundred men, all wearing like flannel shirts and Dockers. And I was like, we gotta schnazz this up a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We gotta wear some nice shoes. And now I've got a bunch of girlfriends in the sports space and we're all dressed in it. And it's brought this different level. And even in photos, now you'll see like, oh, one of you guys decided not to wear a flannel shirt. Just bring in a little bit of a swag
down, yeah. You know, no flannel.
A little bit.
Colors only.
Yeah, just to break it up a bit. But so you just, you know, I just have made sure that I add that little spark of softness and the attention to detail.
Love that. In your opinion, what are some biggest misconceptions about women in the industry?
I got a message yesterday on OnlyFans where a guy just blatantly asked if I would give a random fan a hand job because he thought it would be hot.
You mean you don't do that? Just to random people?
I mean, we get that you know us, but they're fucking strangers, man. And like the assumption of the access, it's so different than when you had to go into a store and rent a VHS or buy a VHS, walk out with a brown bag. I can remember guys recognizing me at the mall during that era, and they would literally look at you and be embarrassed that they recognized you. And they would be like,
take their brown paper bag and be like, oh, just touch the heart.
Yeah. And now the access, because it's right here, has changed that. And everyone thinks everyone is obtainable and everyone thinks they deserve a shot. And for every single guy that says, well, you only make the shots you shoot, you know, we become a backboard. And I think it's so toxic for everyone's mental health. I think this constant interaction of reminding us how little you think of us, because you think that little of us because you think you deserve a hand job as a stranger just because I'm Lisa Ann. It's so fucked up. And so I think that that's a big misconception, the access and the fact that we have done enough. There's so little gratitude. I write back to people all the time, all the scenes I did. And now because I don't want you calling me mommy, you're calling me the C word. Like,
so how do you deal with those encounters? Like you said, you know, last night, you know, you're running your page and like you're having a great time and someone spews those things. And does it take you to a place? Do you fire back? How do you navigate those situations? Because it is such a big misconception that you can just ask for something and you will receive.
I fire back.
Okay.
Because usually it's new people. Because once your people know you, they know you. And these are the people that are going to ask for a ton of shit and cancel in a month. They might even charge back, which infuriates me that you can charge back on masturbating. That should not even be available, but
it should be illegal.
It drives me nuts. I go to my chargebacks once a week just to get my shit going before I go to the gym. Because that'll put me on the Peloton for like 90.
Your pre-workout?
Yeah, that's my pre-workout. Some people do a shot of something. I'm just going to go on my chargebacks on OnlyFans. I strike back in a sense of, first, I will explain that that's not how we communicate here. I can offer the option to cancel you, permanently block you, and refund you your money. That's why we'll never have this interaction again. But I also want them to understand that we are still human beings. And it doesn't just bum me out for me. It bums me out for younger performers. We got to live a great deal of our lives without this shit. And though it is extra money, it's a pain in the fucking ass.
It is, because I feel like it's a different way of, like, you know, everything obviously evolves with time and like technology and things like that. But it is like it kind of dehumanizes us a little bit, which is kind of weird to think because it's so much supposed to be more humanizing in an experience. But I think that it does show how people, society, how you're spoken to. But I also think also in generational, like how like chivalry is dead.
Oh.
Like how it's so easy for, and even like grown men to say this, where it's like, if I was on the street, would you talk to me like that? And the answer now is yes. Because
yes.
People accept that behavior, you know what I mean? And so it's like, if you don't kind of correct and be like, kind of teach them how to treat us, then it just becomes so reckless in a situation.
I scold men in my building elevator for not letting women walk out first. Oh, no. Hockey chuck you back there. I am a woman and I will go first, okay? I might also get punched in the face in the city because that is a thing, but
I heard about that.
Yeah, that's happening right now. But it's important now. I also do an Ask Me Anything on my page. When I'm not traveling, I do it every Friday at 7 p.m. No nudity, no nothing, but it's just an Ask Me Anything. And I cannot believe the lack of understanding when it comes to just dating. Mm. How do you enter a room? How do you start speaking to a woman? What's the most important things? And I keep telling them, like, try to remember five things she says each time you talk to her, because those are going to be important things, whether it was her favorite flowers, her best friend's name, you know, where she likes to go on vacation. These are now conversation starters for later. And I realize that I'm speaking to them and this is so shocking that this is how you get actual women.
But that's why I'm so, I mean, even dating in general, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, put that into a thing of after, you know, being retired and, you know, a different space of men now, but they still see you as Lisa Ann. Is it difficult to date?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Are you dating? Do you go on dating apps?
I could never go on a dating app. That is just obscene.
So if there's one out there right now, you're being catfished.
Oh, yeah.
Say,
enjoy
and
the catfishing. But you know, when I'm on my IG lives and guys are like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'm like, you are a mark. In wrestling, we call you a mark. But what's going to happen now is a fake Lisa is going to hit you and you're going to believe it because you believe that we should be together.
This is
and
true.
Then you're going to spend money and then you're going to find me again and then you're going to blame it on me and I'm gonna be like, no, motherfucker.
And then they're
going
to show you a fake ID that has your name but somebody else's a signature on it.
Or your assistant.
And then they think like, and you're just like, yeah, but this is you. And like, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
Dating is tricky. I just ended a almost 14-year somewhat casual, serious at times relationship because I realized this is just not going anywhere and it's not progressing. And it's at a stalemate, right? Okay. And it wasn't consistent.
14 years. That's a long time.
It's a long time.
And is where we say like a civilian, someone
civilian.
Not in the industry,
not in the industry.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But
we
he
never
was
lived
obviously
together.
Okay with what you did,
yep.
Who you were, and the times of what those were. So everything that was all great.
That was what made me stay with him the longest.
Okay.
Was just that he had no qualms at all. I was who I was. I was a self-starter.
That's a good feeling, sometimes for us, it's like we lack that whole compassionate somebody understanding what we really do.
And
saying that sex could be just sex and not something that's an emotional aspect in our work.
Yeah, and then being insecure, whatever, wherever their head goes.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is we are self-made women. And we did a job that was perfectly legal. And because of our job, we employed other people who mm-hmm. also got to make money. We are our own ecosphere as a brand.
Yes.
And so meeting somebody that understands that and celebrates that is difficult. So that's what made me stay. But right now I'm starting through some friends. You know, I won't meet a stranger. We can't do that.
Okay.
I have to meet a friend through a friend through a friend. That's the best way. It's much easier in New York because you can be casual and just meet someone. You don't have to go to their place. They're not going to your place. You just meet them for a walk. Like,
yeah.
It's easier. So I've been traveling a bit, but now I get to be home for about a month. And I try not to start these things before I'm getting ready to leave because I don't need the bullshit when I'm gone. I don't want to be texting somebody. It bothers me.
Yeah. You don't want a texting friend,
no,
you know?
No, yeah. I don't. I don't want to be building my relationship while I'm in a hotel in Chicago. Okay. But now I have a couple people that I'm interested in just speaking out and going out with them and seeing how it goes.
So have you put feelers in those sense or like do they coming at like suitors for you? Do you like
they're
go
coming,
in someone's DM kind of thing?
At me.
Okay.
But through the right people.
Okay.
They're smart
so
enough.
So there's some kind of checklist that's being checked
yeah.
that
oh,
you're
yeah.
like, okay, you vetted this one.
Yes.
Now we're on this level. Now we can make you serious or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because of course, you know, first and foremost, you must be single. That's another thing. There's a lot of men that would assume that we would be okay being someone's side bitch. I'm nobody's side bitch.
Yeah.
You're not either.
Yeah.
So that's not happening. But it's also, there's a thought that we always have of when something will make our man uncomfortable.
Mm.
When it would be. And for what I know, I went through this when I was married because I was very insecure. I'm a totally different person now than I was then. But I used to be worried that when he was out on a golf course and his friends would crack jokes about me. Because, you know, guys are mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were young. And so that constant thing in the back of your mind can make you very insecure. You need to not feel that with somebody. And that's tough.
Yeah.
Because when a guy gets in a fight with you, what's the first thing he brings up?
Depending on who they are, but usually the business. Well, you sucked it. Yeah,
yeah
I did. Yeah, so yeah. Now you know.
Now the true feelings are coming out here.
Yep. So it's, yeah. For sure. It's definitely tricky. That's why I feel like navigating really and being in a space in your life where you know what you want, you know what you've been through, you know that you don't want to do those things again. And even if it's as simple as saying, I don't want to start any kind of anything while I'm in a hotel, because I know that doesn't serve me and where my purpose is at this point, where it's like, let me be either be all in or all out.
Yep.
And so it's one of those. Are you looking more for something serious now that you got out of a 14-year relationship on and off, or are you looking more for situationships?
I have situationships that I've held on to in between the bouts of this almost 14 years. And I'm asking myself questions this year. I decided that I wasn't going to decide, am I looking for a relationship or not? Because I've never really visualized what I want a relationship for me to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of been taking a little bit of time every day to journal that of like, I would be fine with somebody that has to travel for work, because I am fiercely independent and I do like a lot of alone time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could be with in a complete routine, constantly together, 24/7 situation. And I do a lot of work from home.
Mm-hmm.
So other than my 2 days a week in studio, there's a month I'm not going into studio. I'm going to be with this person. Are they working at home? So I've been thinking about that. And I think at my age, you know, I turned 52 in May. It's difficult to meet people that have also been no children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm opposed, but it does make things complicated.
But those are your boundaries. I feel like, and those are, you know, important
things. Those are the journal things right now.
Where it's like, you know, you have to really be at the, you know, intentional about the people that you want in your life. Because again, it's like, in a sense, like, tomorrow's never promised, all those things, but it's like life's, you know, life is lifing for everybody. And it's not, you can't take those years back or whatever. So it's like, you know, you're a strong, independent woman, but also sometimes I think for myself, and like when I see you in a lot of ways, it mirrors like you're the reflection of your growth of where your business is and how we navigate things. And that's why I think it's easy to speak to on that level, is that we are so used to doing it on our own. And we don't have and never felt comfortable to be in our feminine, to not be the alpha, because alpha doesn't mean necessarily that we're losing control, but it means that we have more control of certain things.
Yeah.
That I think now is like the times to be honest with yourself and sit with those thoughts. And what are my standards? What are my requirements?
Yes.
What are my boundaries?
Yes.
Because I myself, too, is like, I wanted a relationship for so long, but it's like, well, what do you want in a relationship? I couldn't answer that question.
That's why I'm asking myself.
2 years ago, I couldn't answer that question, but I wanted this relationship and not in a person or anything, but just this relationship.
Yes.
And so until I sat down and really started in my thoughts of like, why do I choose partners that are in the past? And maybe that's like your 14 relationship. Why it stayed is because there was some kind of security that made it seem that you could fall back on those things. But being honest with ourselves and internally really being truthful of what we want and what we won't accept any longer in this point of our lives.
And it's great to actually not be in a rush and to not be, you know, denying the thoughts, but thinking about them and really putting them down. Journaling them has been really interesting to me, because it's also helped me when I spend time with my other friends that are married and things that I love about their marriage and like how I visualize that for them. And I'm like, you know, that's a very fascinating, important thing. Like my best friends, they love dogs, and one of their big connections is always making sure they're out twice a day, walking their dogs together, and that's their connection time when they go out and do their own things. So little things.
For sure. I think that's also a big important thing to see other relationships and emulate, because I think that a lot of us didn't have those things to, like growing up, we didn't see those, you know, examples of those types of things. So it's like now that you attach yourself to people that are your family and friends, you can kind of see the loving nature of what real love in a sense looks like. Can you share an unexpected, like behind the scenes story in your adult career that people are still today shocked when you tell them these things?
I think a good one is why I cut bangs.
Okay.
You can see this scar above my nose barely now because it's healed so nicely and well.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an offset sex injury.
Scissors?
No, you're not going to believe it. And I only told this story in my book.
Okay.
And because you assume the whole world reads your book, you think people know. Most people are not going to know this.
Well, now we want to lead them to the book.
Landed me Palin. So I'm glad this accident happened. So
I nailed Palin.
You did your third.
I nailed Palin.
We were at the box cover together. So I'm having unprotected sex, which is something I never did. And I never wanted to, because I was working a lot at that time. You don't want to show up on, you don't want to affect anybody on set, but whatever. And he was like, I'm going to pull out. And he started to come too early. And he pushed me so hard up that I flew into the wooden headboard on my bed and just split my face open.
Oh.
And when you cut your head, shit's gushing everywhere, right? And right away, I looked at him and I'm like, you need to get the fuck out of my face. Like, I'm going to deal with this on my own. We can't talk right now. So it was a Memorial Day weekend. I knew I couldn't reach a plastic surgeon. I knew I had to deal with this. I drove myself down to the CVS on the corner of Laurel Canyon and
Ventura. Bleeding out of your face?
Fucking blood all over me. I went into the store. There was like some 16-year-old kid working there. I went around. I got a basket. I grabbed him. I had grabbed stripper ones. You know how you always have a thing in your, like, in your house for like Starbucks and stuff? A garbage bag of just ones. So I grabbed all these ones before I left. I'm bloody. I'm all. And I said, dude, I'm giving you all this money, but I need you to lay me down and butterfly up my face. So this is what we're going to do. So he laid me down in the middle of the CVS. Alcohol, clean me up.
In the CVS? I bought... Not even home?
No, not even there.
I know. A stranger. I thought you meant the guy who, like, knocked you into the wall.
He had to go. Oh. I couldn't even face him. This is my
literally,
face.
You're
this
like,
is, this is my face. This is my career. You're a fucking idiot. And yeah. I don't know why I was fucking you. And you be in front of me for one more minute might get me arrested because I might murk you. So, no, I made him leave. He was like, should I leave? I'm like, yeah.
Did he come?
Oh, I can't even remember that part. The pain was so extreme.
Okay.
This kid cleaned me up, though, and bandaged me. And then I went to a plastic surgeon after the holiday. And the surgeon said to me, well, you have two choices. He's like, because it started to heal, it could be infected, so I can't put you under. And he's like, but I could do the surgery today awake. And I laid there for 4 fucking hours with this little tent of things covering my eyes, listening to this plastic surgeon, his assistant, open up my face, was sweating. I drove myself home in traffic, like, yeah, something that people don't know. But then I called my hairdresser first thing. Girl, we got to get some bangs to cover this fucking shit on my face. And
well,
she was
good. You can't say it's very, very, very minor thing. But I mean, that is a very great, tragic story.
Tragic.
I mean, I'm sure you're still that you're like, why did I have to just relive that?
But the bangs got me paling. So I don't know if people would have ever looked at me like Sarah Palin. Yes, I had glasses, but what if I never had the bangs? The bangs were really the clencher, I think.
True, and things happen for a reason. So maybe it was destined for you to get your head
in
split open so you could get bangs. Then I became Miss California, and it was the whole sash.
You had the sash
on. It's funny because I recently saw on your account, I think, or you reposted something that someone, they said something about the Hustler movie. And I was like, that's the movie we were in. We were in Mr. President's office.
Yeah, we were. We sure were. But yes, tragic story, but really a happy ending.
A lot of fun-filled more stories like that in her book. So you definitely should go check it out because that one's in the book. What's the most unexpected lesson you learned during your time in the adult industry? How many years total were you...
30 years total.
Okay.
25 about years active doing hardcore scenes because I took a little break. I didn't do hardcore scenes when I was married. I think one of the things that I learned was there are definitely different qualities in people that make them more susceptible to make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And I, at times right now, recently, and I think this is just an old lady thing, but I've been having a little bit of weirdly survivor's guilt of like wondering why everybody doesn't do better and how bad things are still happening, and not just with young girls but with women our age and older, you know, like how their lives haven't improved and they didn't save their money. And like the business really showed me that some of the greatest people, the nicest, sweetest, kindest people can still have that thing inside them that makes them either have an addictive personality and make bad choices or be destructive with their dating habits or be destructive with their money. And I think that really was a huge lesson to me, like to never judge people because you don't know how somebody got there and why it is they can't say no to that one thing they know is not good for them.
For sure. I think that, you know, everyone has their own demons of things.
Yeah.
It's just how we, I think, you know, when it comes to like the whys, I think for myself, it's kind of where it's like people, you can only meet people where they're at. And just because you've done the work or I've done the work or whoever does work, whatever, there's always going to be more work. But people sometimes will never reach the view or vision of what you have because people just don't think that way. And so I think that, and also it's because when you really look within, it's scary. It's not easy. It's, you know, it's because then you have to start knowing what are your whys and why do you choose those things? I think that's why people tend to shy away from it is because it's not easy. Doing the work isn't easy.
And then you also have to look back on the mistakes you already made, which we've all made mistakes. I'm never saying that I'm perfect, but I did watch so many people that I loved so much just continue to abuse their bodies or continue to do bad things.
Yeah, it's definitely like, a sad because it's like you want to shake them,
I help
you know what I mean?
But
it's like they can only help themselves when they're out there. What's the worst advice you've ever gotten?
I remember when I first got into the industry, I was told if I did interracial, it would ruin my career. That's the worst advice I ever had gotten. Because
who told you this advice?
This was, you know, when I first started my first 2 years in the business, contract roles were not allowed to do interracial. And so it was that simple.
Okay.
And I remember asking why. Like, we had just organized, you know, back then you got paid more for facial cum shots. So like in your contract would be, okay, you're going to, here's where all the cum shots are going to land, like out of your 12 movies.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, and so, and I remember sitting at this desk with Steve Carmelin going, we just organized where all the cum shots are going, but you're going to tell me the color of the skin of somebody that I can or cannot work with. And he goes, it's just the cable doesn't buy it. So once I was done with that contract and I went out on my own and started talking to other people were telling me, even our dance agents were like, don't do it. It'll ruin your career. And I'm like, I don't fucking get you people. It's something I want.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
To do.
Yeah.
And it's something that I also think is so beautiful to shoot. Mm-hmm. I love the contrast of the skin tones. You know, I just love that artistically. So I always just wanted to see it. But yeah, a lot of people told me, and then it's been neat for me to help young people in the industry who are getting that same advice. And I'm able to say to them, like, you should have sex with who you want to.
For sure.
It shouldn't be.
I think a lot of people, the stigma, like people, you know, and especially outside people looking in, it's like, especially myself, I got a lot of ridicule because of those things. But it's like, you don't know the business. Our business within itself has a lot of racist connotations or whatever. And it's not based off of really your choice, which it should be, because you're guided to certain things of when you can and cannot do things or shouldn't do things or advised at those. But it's like the ins and out is it's not, it's very ugly.
Yeah. Ugly. It is.
Where it's like, at the end of the day, it's like you're choosing to fuck on camera, let you do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Be free. Is there, what would you say, like the difference in, is when you first started in the industry and now like advocating for like the industry and how are the women have kind of led, like how different is it?
My gosh. You know, one of the reasons why I love going to Exotica is I get to see Christy Canyon. Mm-hmm. You know, I met her when I was 18 and I was a house girl at Al's Name Sunshine. Okay. I was just embarking on the understanding that feature dancers were actually a gig, and that and she has stayed exactly the same. Mm-hmm. She would let me sit on the dirty couch in the dress room at Al's and just ask her all these questions about the business. It felt like more of a family before the internet.
Okay.
And it felt like the business was afraid in the 90s that the girls would leave. They always were worried. There wasn't thousands of women coming into the industry. So they were always worried you were going to leave. They always wanted you happy. We still want you to leave. You know, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to shoot with anybody you don't want to. Do you like this? What do you want to eat? I just felt like I was a star. And then you just became a worker. Mm-hmm. And like when the term sex worker happened, that's truly what I felt like we became. Mm. We stopped being stars and turned into sex workers, which reminds me of just being in a sweatshop selling, sewing Levi's. Like it's such a, you know, sterilized term for an adult star or a performer. But I just love that intimacy, that family. Everyone really looked out for each other. And then it just became so big so fast because the internet, I think there's so many people that you don't even know. And you're like, how could I not know people in this little space that we're in? It's a little space.
Yeah, it's definitely evolved. Now everybody's inside. What sparked your interest in podcasting? And what are some of the topics that you explore on your show?
I'm an avid listener of all kinds of things. I could listen to sports radio 12 hours a day. And I could watch the same shows on my television, but I would rather listen.
Are you masturbating to the sportscasters?
No,
the
I'm
people
just
who
visualizing
are commentating? There's not anybody?
Nope. I'm just visualizing what I think is going on in studio. I'm visualizing the play that they're playing and talking about that I know I watch because
so
I watch the game.
Like, into sports. It's not like a facade where people you're into like the statistics, what's going on.
I mean, I was up this morning at 6 a.m. to start writing draft notes because I'm analyzing the drafts happening tomorrow night, you know? I'm into it. And so what I started to realize was I loved good broadcast. And then once podcasts really started to pop up and I wanted to listen to a ton of podcasts, I realized, wow, there's a lot of shitty podcasts. Like, wow, not everybody is a good communicator. Mm-hmm. Luckily, SiriusXM put me through classes.
Oh, nice.
And so I got to learn a lot more about broadcast. I got to go into a lot more studios and just really learn about the cadence of it, the conversation, the just ability to be a wordsmith. You know, I can listen to Greeny and Hembo, his guy, he's so brilliant. He will not use the same adjective in a week. Like, his vocabulary is so intense. That's what really made me, I love the skill to communicate. I love sharing a story with enthusiasm and feeling that somebody listening might be visualizing your excitement and feeling that escape from their own reality.
Mm. I like that. And your show, what did you call it, Lisa Ann Experience?
The Lisa Ann Experience. I cover everything. I bring in some stars from the industry. I love to read books and then reach out to the authors and get them on my podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I have a lot of publishers now that are sending me books to read to get them.
It's like a book club.
And it forces me because it gives me a thing where I'm like, I'm going to lay down and read for 10 hours today because I want to get through this book. And nobody can tell me any different because this is work.
Yeah.
I am working.
Research.
And I want to do a good interview with an author, right? So authors, all kinds of wellness experts and some influencers.
Any advice for entrepreneurs looking to build their brand beyond the main field? Their main field.
Yeah. Really start to network out. I think the most important thing is to find that space where you'd like to be in next and start to follow a lot of people in that space. Start to really lean in. If they have a blog that comes out daily, which I did, I get about 150 emails a day that are just things that I could read that are going on today in the sports world. Sign up for those blogs, start to engage, also start conversation outside of your space with those people in that space, and you'll find that you're feeling welcomed and you're understood. You'll learn through them, you'll see what works and what doesn't work, and you'll already have a little bit of a launch pad. You'll feel that you already know people. Even though you only e-know them online, you're still going to have some sort of a, oh, there's these trade shows that go on. Oh, there's this event that happens. Oh, this is speaking engagement. Just start to watch it.
Immerse yourself in the world.
Yeah, I watched the sports world for my whole life before I started doing this. And you know, when I would go on the road and feature dance, I always wanted to do radio when they would let you go in and do the show. And they would always say, we got a 20-minute spot. I'd be like, I'm going to be in there for an hour. I would memorize all the players on their teams. So if it was football, hockey, whatever it was, whatever season it was, I memorized their players, the top five scorers, stats. And I would go in there and just start to spew out these stats. And it would keep me in there for an hour, but it made me a better host because it showed me that excitement.
Yeah, and the knowledge of it, you know, and I think articulating that and from a female standpoint too, I think, and it kind of gives more power behind your message. What's philanthropic? I can't even talk. I wish I could smoke weed right now. Are you into like any philanthropic things? Are you like something close to your heart that you have to be, that you kind of are partaking in right now or that you kind of like did more the last couple of years?
I do many. Every year I do a walk to end Alzheimer's in Huntington Beach, California in November. I've been doing that since 2016. I added on a 24-hour walk in New York City for suicide prevention. I found that's been a really powerful. I love things where I can actually be engaged with other people that have been directly affected by these causes. And I'm doing some work for Planned Parenthood, a temple division, where I was just able to raise enough money thanks to Chatterbait, who offered to pay me for an interview at Exotica. And I said, I won't take the money, but will you donate it to this charity for me?
Amazing.
And they said, yes, and we'll match it. And I said, okay, I'll match it. So now they're going to have two vending machines on campus.
That's awesome.
With contraceptives as well as Plan B pills. So
that's big. That's
great.
Big.
So I do that. I do a lot of work for Blessings in a Backpack. That's what I do for my birthday every year and Christmas. Blessings in a Backpack helps kids that are on the school lunch program go home with a book bag of food for every weekend. And to think that there's kids in the U.S. that have food insecurity is just rattling. When you're looking at social media, we all have what we want, you know? So I try to, the goal is always to raise $100,000 a year for other causes.
I love that. What's the, you travel a lot. You've gone to a lot of places, done that just for work, but just, you know, for your personal pleasure as well. What's the most fascinating place that you've encountered?
I love Italy. My heart is in Italy, but when it comes to
fascinating. Is your man in Italy?
It's Switzerland.
Is your man in Italy?
He might Maybe. Be. So, you know, I did start a business. I partnered with a winery in Italy. So I now have a reason
have
to
root.
Be. Yeah, now I have no roots. So I'm going over there regularly because I do believe that if I'm going to meet a man, he's probably going to be an Italian man.
I'm a big
man.
Manifester. So you put that on the air. You know what I mean? So it's
there.
Like, you know.
But what I love about Italy is just the pace of life. People are so different. Nowhere in public do you see someone touching their phone. Everybody is living in the moment that they're in at that time. And then when they want to use their phone, they'll like go home. No one has good Wi-Fi walking around either, which I think limits people from doing the scrolling. But when you come back after being in Italy for a week or two and you come back, you realize everyone's just walking down the street like this. Whereas meanwhile, you were able to look at everyone's faces and see what they look like. We don't know what people look like anymore. We're not looking up. So I think Italy is just...
It's on my bucket list. I definitely have plans to be in Italy. I think my husband may be in Italy. You know? Let's see. How do you stay committed to your fitness routine and like, you know, your wellness fit when you're on the road and traveling and having such an extensive schedule?
It's a bitch, right? It really is. It is such a bitch. Sometimes I say to myself, you should just train hard like an athlete. And then when you go on the road, just take those as your off days. But that doesn't work because you feel sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
I started taking yoga at my building in the city, which has helped me learn moves. Yoga is the easiest thing to do in a hotel room.
Okay.
So now no matter what, I just wake up and I start with just a 20-minute stretch. Then if I feel like working out, I can go to the hotel gym, or I can always just bang out 50 squats, 50 push-ups, 50 lunges in the hotel room and be done with it. You know, it's like sometimes like at Exotica, I don't want to leave the room and go into the gym and run into a bunch of people.
You want your time alone.
Alone. No makeup, no nothing. So I'll do it in the hotel room, right? But I make it
yoga.
Stick.
Yoga. Should we be looking for a yoga tape from Lisa Han soon?
No. I also travel with bands.
I do that too. That's at least, I mean, sometimes I don't ever get out of the bag.
But they're there. They're there.
That's my problem. I always bring the stuff. And
the intention
maybe
is there.
The first day. And then it's like, that's a tough one for me. That's why it's just, you know, I try to do it as much as I can while I'm home so I can balance my life in that sense. All right. So you said you like to read books and you have authors and things like that. Is there a book that's kind of made you change your perspective on life or sticks out more than the other? Maybe you read more often or maybe multiple times?
Oh, there's a couple. The whole series of The Secret is a game changer to me. I love The Secret. Rhonda Byrne, just a wonderful human being who now, when she releases something new, sends me autographed copies and I get them in advance.
That's
just like the great, just because I fanned out so hard and thanked her.
But that's
for
what
her
I
work.
Love about our platform sometimes is sometimes we don't realize our fans can become fans of us, vice versa, what it is. And then you get to share this whole other, like, it's like that. It's
and then The Minimalists, who I just saw yesterday to do a revisit on their podcast, their documentary, The Minimalists on Netflix, and then reading all of their books, What Remains, Love People Use Things, The Opposite Never Works, like their message changed my life and made me get rid of 75% of my belongings and move from 4,000 square feet to less than 1,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like it made me deliberately take 2 years to do that. Yeah. It's because, you know, you accumulate stuff, especially in the business, and you hold on to stuff. And I had a big house. Every closet was full. But it gives you more free time. You're not managing your stuff all the time. You feel like you can move more. You feel like it's easier to come and go. Those books had a huge impact on me.
I feel like it's always, I have a running joke of like the archives. Everything's archives. And it's like, you have to just start letting things go. Every like couple of months, I'm like, all right, what else can I?
I'm always like, can I sell it? Or do I
that's
just
why I
let it go?
That's why it's like archives.
Do I sell it?
I'm like, you know, Exotica, we're going to bring it next.
Do I sell it?
Okay. The greatest thing about athletes is they can't be seen with me. That is something that you quoted. Do you feel like in today's industry, the athletes want to be seen with us, from basketball players to rappers, et cetera? I feel like nowadays they more want to be seen with us.
And you know what's funny? I don't want to be seen with them now. It's so weird. I never thought this would happen, where finally they'd be like, hey, let's go out to dinner. I'm like, man, because then I'm afraid. I don't want to be part of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't know what else you got going on. I don't know if you're being honest with me. I don't know if there's another girl that thinks she's your girlfriend. And now you're toting me around like a handbag. I don't like that either. So like, yes, I will be seen with you if we're hosting an event and I'm getting paid. And it just so happens we're in the same booth.
Same vicinity.
Or you're next there or something like that. But isn't that weird how it changed?
It flipped. It definitely flipped.
Yeah, like, you're trying to clout chase on us when really before you just want to fuck us in silent. I just fuck you in silent.
Which was, it was funny. It reminds me of a story from when I first like started hanging out with you or like going to New York. And it was like, it had to do with an athlete situation. You're like, yeah. And I was dating an athlete at the time. We were at the same game. And then you're like, yeah, I have a date with so-and-so, but he's in here now. And I told him I was sick and he's in the same place. And I was like, this is classic.
Yeah.
At least you're like, I don't know if he saw him. The guy I was with was super tall. So you're like, just stand here so we don't see who it is. Does that happen a lot?
Just hide behind really quick. You'll never know.
You're like, just let him pass because we can't, you know.
Yeah.
It's always fun. But now they just want to be like, hey, Lisa,
yeah,
come over here and sit at my table.
And you're like, ugh. And you know, I'm not out like that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not out like that. I'm like, I'm getting paid to host an event. I'm out. I casually go out with my friends, but I prefer to be, I'm now this woman. My friends are getting ready to go to their second spot, and I'm going home.
You're like, oh, call me tomorrow.
Perfect
like,
for me, because then I can get up and go to the gym.
Who's the most famous person you know personally? Like, you actually have their number in your phone. You could FaceTime them. Like,
oh, my gosh. Who would I say? I don't know if I want to say.
I'm not going to ask you to call them, but I'm just going to.
No. Can I pass?
You can pass.
I'm passing only because of the privacy factor. And again, I don't want to give this person clout. We just talked about it.
We like
I'm
that.
Sorry, buddy. You know who you are.
You get no clout.
All of you know who you are.
You got arrested or detained recently was that the first time you were in cuffs? And can you explain what really happened? We
not
were
the first.
Free Lisa Ann. Free Lisa Ann.
Not the first time I was in cuffs.
Okay.
First time as an adult, though, in cuffs, which makes it a little bit scarier because you worry about your passport and stuff.
Okay.
Didn't get arrested, did fuck with the cops though a bit because they had me detained for 45 minutes outside. Was a nasty situation. And what happened was, you know, my friend had gotten us great seats, two rows back from the stage. Sitting there, Matt Rife had just came out. We watched the first two. Great, Matt Rife comes out. Security comes over and they're like, ma'am, you have to leave. They take me out to the lobby area. They're like, you were on your phone. I'm like, I wasn't on my phone. And my friend spent a lot of money on these tickets as a customer. Like, can you just check the cameras or check the data on my phone? Because I was not on my phone. And they're like, well, if you won't leave, then we're going to arrest you for trespassing. And I just couldn't believe it to be true.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you're
okay.
You're like, is this a joke?
And I know like so many cops in New York. So I was like, you know, eventually I'll see somebody I know. And I'm like, well, then arrest me. And these guys fucking spun my ass around and slammed me up against the thing. I mean, bent my bracelet, checked my watch. Like, it was such a jar.
Crazy,
like,
yeah.
And then we stand outside. We're outside for like 45 minutes. Finally, my friends get out there and I'm like, let's make some content. We're not going to see this show. Let's face it. It's going to be over by the time this is over. Let's make some content. We're trying to shoot photos. We weren't getting any good photos because I was up against this wall. It didn't have any effect. But then the ambulance
pulled up. Did you feel like you were in a movie? You're like, you've done this before? Up against the wall?
I just wanted to have some movement, right? I just know if I'm going to send something to TMZ.
But you also know your rights, too. If at that point, if you haven't done anything wrong, you haven't done whatever, it's like they have to give you some kind of answers. They can't just let you be, you know.
So they throw me in an ambulance because they're like, we want to have her do a psychiatric hold. I'm like.
Because they were claiming that you were intoxicated.
Which I was not.
Mm-hmm.
So the long and the short of it is the nurse, the doctor woman in the ambulance was so nice. And she asked me a bunch of questions and she's like, this is insane. I'm so sorry this happened to you. She gets out, she yells at the cops. They take off the handcuffs. They're like, walk home.
And that
I'm
was
like,
it. You're like,
you
all
just
of
fucked
that?
Up my night. So then
like,
I decided
can I get a refund?
To read that. But while I was walking to the ambulance, that was when my girl had the chance to shoot the video with movement. And I was like, this is our opportunity. We get one take of this shit at shoot. And so we did 8 seconds, one cut. I was so proud of her. Oh my God, her birthday's this weekend. I'm going to get her something so nice.
Did that bring a lot of traction to your OnlyFans?
It did, but more than anything, I was getting 50 million views a day on Instagram.
Okay. Oh, hey.
Like I was like, hey, it did give me a little boost on the OF.
Okay.
But to find out that it's a girl in the business that has a fan that works Radio City, And I never tell people where I'm going in real time. Like, you notice I'm in California. I haven't posted one California picture on my IG. Those will all start going on when I get at the airport.
Smart.
I'm afraid of people. Of course, we both have to be. And I made the mistake that day at 1 p.m. going on, doing an IG live and saying that I was going to the 8 p.m. show at Radio City. Mm-hmm. I go to Radio City 5-10 times a year and I always post the next day. So this person had been waiting for the one opportunity. And it was fans on OnlyFans that started coming to me going, hey, what made you give your location? You never do that. Mm-hmm. These girls are talking about this right now. It's not who most people would think it could have been. It's somebody completely different. But still, it's somebody that I haven't seen since 2014. This business can
You've
be
You've been
so...
pissing people off, Lisa Ann. They've been waiting all this time?
This person comes at me regularly.
Okay.
You know, I have a couple. I have one person that just changes my Wikipedia all the time. And then I hire a company to change back. And then they change back. It's just back and forth.
Annoying. Yeah.
Annoying. Annoying because some people that interview only look at your Wikipedia. Then they have everything wrong. The thing in this business that's crazy is the grudges that are held and that there's more bullying inside and from within than on the outside. Once you get out and you're out and about doing your other things, you realize people are way fucking cooler than you thought they were going to be. There's a lot more light and less darkness. And I feel like the darkness that other people feel in this business, they project on people who only feel the light.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy.
For sure.
I was set up and this person bragged about it, and I got screen grabs of a text conversation of this person bragging about it.
That's unfortunate.
Yep.
I feel like life's too short.
I agree.
You know, it's all just move along. So I know you don't want to give anybody clout, and it's not that I'm going to ask for a name, but yes or no could be suffice.
Okay.
Who's the, oh no, let's see. Have you dated or fucked anybody in the playoffs at the moment?
Yep.
There's a lot of playoffs going on.
Yeah, like went through a couple teams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who do you think is our next president? Who is Lisa Ann voting for 2024?
Politics? This shit'll get me killed.
So you don't want to say.
I mean, we're so divided.
Okay.
New York is doing everything they can with this court case and Trump. And the real problem is, I think there's a lot of great people out there that want to be in politics. And I'm really glad that DeSantis decided to jump out of the race, because one of the things I learned doing Palin was how much her state loved her, and that when she got pulled away to run for vice president and then couldn't go back to being governor, it was a bummer. She did a lot of great things for that state. DeSantis has done a lot of great things for Florida, and people live there because of him. And I think a lot of people get involved in politics with the right intention, but there's so much underlying greed from the pharmaceutical companies that are connected to these politicians who can change bills and laws that make things available, and then who benefits on the stock market, them. The amount of greed that's going on behind everything is so intense and so incredible. But what we're doing right now is we're overcorrecting for the news selling us propaganda. I don't care how you feel about Trump. The news never talked about good things. They only talked about bad things. They brainwashed us. They brought us COVID. We go through this whole fucking cesspool of bullshit. And now we're just happy to have something that isn't Trump. And in reality, everybody is feeling it. Inflation is up 21%. People are struggling to pay their bills. I was shocked to see your gas out here is over $5 a gallon. I'm so glad to not have a car. But I will tell you this, in 2019, when I was deciding whether I was going to move, I had this series of thoughts and dreams about what was going to happen after Trump, and that we were going to overcorrect and turn into this chaotically soft, crime-ridden.
So what's happening now?
And so that's why I sold everything. I didn't want to own a home. I didn't want to own a car.
At this point,
I didn't
want
to be
a hot. Yeah.
I can pick up and move to another country at any time. I can file a digital visa nomad program anytime and bail. But I don't know who's going to win because we have so few candidates to choose from. I don't think Biden is well enough. I think there's a lot of people working behind him, and that's causing a lot of corruption. I think we got to do better with crime. I think we're having a big border issue. I think, you know, there's so many things. Who wants to take the job? It's like the guy that goes into the restaurants and finds that there's mice and Restaurant Impossible. Mm. This is USA Impossible. Who wants a fucking job for like less than half a mil a year?
Facts. So, okay, so let's fuck, marry, kill.
Okay.
Trump, Biden, or Obama?
Pass. And by me passing,
okay,
that gives the answer.
This does. Being that you're involved with fantasy sports, what's one of your sports fantasies? Could you tell us about?
I would like to hit big on a fucking bet that nobody believed in, okay? I mean big. I'm fucking big. Because I spend time, okay, I drop about $500 a month. And that's a small budget, okay, on just stupid fucking bets that if they hit, have like a plus 2,900, you know, okay. But like, I just want them to hit and they're like stupid bets.
So you want that big hit.
That I could just be like, I know this is the dumbest thing you never but thought would hit and it fucking hit.
I like
I
that.
I had a big parlay, but it wasn't dumb, but I did put it in January 21st last year. It was the Nuggets to go to the finals, the Nuggets to win at five, and it was plus 1,900. I mean, I made good money on that one, but it wasn't far-fetched. Nuggets were that fucking good. I want something just like stupidly random, and I do it. Like, yeah, this wide receiver, he's going to have three touchdowns this week. It's plus 3,900. I'm going to put $50 on it. If it hits, I have a lot of money. If it doesn't, I'm just an idiot that just wasted $50. And I'm always the idiot that wasted the $50.
Who's your Mount Rushmore for porn?
That's a great question. Well, you're on it.
Ooh, I like it. I made the mountain.
You're on it. Okay. So I think we have to go with one old school performer, right?
Okay.
And one. So I think old school classic, let's really roll it back there. I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels.
Good one.
I was having to fuck him off camera when I came out here because, again, I said I wasn't allowed to do interracial, but like I...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
I wanted to meet him. I was a super fan by the time I got out here. So I was
so
like,
you gotta try out the goods.
Yeah, get a hot tub. He lived in Chatsworth. I lived in the Huntington Beach. It was very convenient for set. And then to throw another guy on there, I'm gonna throw Johnny Sins on there, of course, just because, you know, he's Johnny Sins. He's super chill. He doesn't bother you. He doesn't get in your face. He gets his job done. He's amazing. And I think the other person that I'm gonna put on there would be Christy Canyon, just because of what a positive impact she's had in my life and how she continues to inspire me.
Love. What do you think about the Diddy situation? Have you ever dealt with any closet celebrities?
I avoid celebrities at all costs, even when I lived out here, because I just didn't want to see people doing shit that I knew was wrong, and then I have to judge them. Mm. I know I'm going to judge you. I know you're going to do some
shit. And then it's
going to
like make me not like your music, like, whatever you're doing.
I can't tell you why I don't like you. So whenever I'm getting invited to shit, I'm like, nah. You know what I mean? I think very successful people do a lot of weird shit, but I think more than anything, and this came to me immediately when I saw the Diddy thing, someone fucking hates him more than anyone's ever hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it back to Radio City, that girl hates me. She fucks with me as much as she can. She's got a hacker fan who likes to shut off all my fucking credit cards and fuck with my credit.
That's just
and so always crazy. Directs the same person because she, one of her closest friends, she has no idea that I'm friends with, so she directs. Mm. I think Diddy's situation is unique because you just brought up the president's. My superstition, hypothetical, what I think is happening, conspiracy theory, we're going to last minute throw Michelle Obama up there to run for president. And Michelle Obama and Obama have partied with the Diddy's multiple times and want all the video surveillance edited with them out of it. And they want to be sure that they're not connected because How can the FBI, how can our government go into your home and destroy your fucking property and not arrest you? Better believe if you ever come into my home and you rip wires out of the fucking wall and you make my place unlivable, the place that I worked my ass off, you better lock me the fuck up, because I'm not just going to roll around and go to fucking Topgolf and act like nothing happened. It's suspicious. Now, mind you, they didn't do this to Epstein. We had the choice to put Epstein in the jail in Florida in the 90s. And then again, in the 2000s, we didn't do it because politicians.
Mm-hmm.
This is very different. I believe there's a white cloud around the situation.
Conspiracy.
But I think there has to be some politicking involved for him to have all of that shit done to his house.
White girl politicking. Just say.
Hey.
So you have your two books. Which was it easier, harder to write the second, the first? What is the difference between the two? And did you have a baby, like one that's more favored or the other?
The second was way easier to write, and I'll tell you why. The first editor I worked with after my first book, which was grueling, because I just kept writing. He was like, look, you need to read more. And it's funny, I'm reading a Stephen King book right now on writing, and it opens up with, if you don't have time to read, you don't have time to write.
Mm-hmm.
So I put myself on a reading challenge that year. I was going to read a book a week. For a year, I read 63 books. 63 books
That's
in a year.
Lot.
Powered through this fucking book. And then I realized, oh my God, this first book sucked. By the time I sat down with my second book, I also had the idea of, you know, you'd lay out the chapters, then your concepts, you know, and you build these stories, but I didn't repeat myself. I was much more articulate. I learned from radio. Sometimes in radio, you have 3 minutes before you're going to break and you want to cover a news story. You got to fit that news story in 3 minutes. I learned how to package things better. So the second book was easier to write, easier to edit, easier to read.
Mm.
And now I'm working on book number three.
Amazing.
I got two books going right now, actually.
That's awesome. Where can we support you? Where can we find your book?
Shop Lisa Ann. And shockingly enough, when I got shoplisaann.com, I thought this is great. I got Shop Lisa Ann. No. You know what my emails are for a fucking store? When I'm trying to make sure every book order gets delivered? People think they can buy me on that store. Not a good store title. Bad. It was a fail.
No.
Every fucking year. Some people are like, I didn't get my book. I'm like, I'm sorry.
I didn't think about that.
But 300 emails a day that are asking me how much it costs to purchase me on my store that I don't see the listing. I just see books. Why are there books?
I love it. All right. Last question. Last time you had sex?
Last week.
Last week.
Right in between Chicago and coming here.
Oh, nice. You slipped one in.
A situationship. Someone I really enjoy, too. He lives out here. But his dad's in New York, so he comes back there often. It works out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is the wrestling review. I'm not going to do Truth with Texas because I feel like we touched on a lot of really fun, exciting things. It's 12:50.
Oh, perfect. We'll find out time. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I know you're doing.
I'm still on East Coast time. I was just making sure.
You're doing us a solid. So we'll do a rapid fire of Truth with Texas.
Okay.
So we're warmed up. We've got all those things out of the way. Now you need to know the nitty gritty. So naughty questions. Choked or spanked?
Spanked, never choke.
Lube or spit?
Lube, always very worried about my pH. Now, mind you, if I was in a relationship, spit wouldn't be a problem. But when you were on set, you were always told a bunch of people spit is not great. That's a yeast infection. So, yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. It just freaks me out, too.
Handcuffs or blindfold?
Blindfold.
Have you ever faked an orgasm?
Of course. Oh, my God.
Are you a member of the Mile High Club?
No, are you?
I am.
Oh, my God. Was it a private plane or a regular plane?
Southwest.
Oh, it was dirty bathrooms. You're so brave.
It was in the seats.
I'm so impressed with you.
I feel like your nipples just got hard.
That's a panty dropper right there. Oh, my God.
It was like a spoon, you know, the little thing on, you know, like a little blanket over. It was that night flight. It was back in, you know, I used to work for Bang Bros in Florida, so it was a late night flight. So there was like porn people behind us, too, so they weren't going to tell on us.
Oh, my God, okay,
it was
awesome. Okay.
Biggest turn off. What is something that completely is repulsive to you? That's
bad manners.
Bad manners.
And you know, it's funny. You can meet somebody that is so nice to you, and then you go somewhere with them. You see how they talk to other
treat
people,
others.
And you're like, ew.
Repulsed.
Like, yeah. Like I won't go on a date to my favorite restaurants when I'm first getting to know somebody because I don't want to not show up. I don't want somebody to treat my favorite waiter like shit.
Yeah, because then
let's go to your spots. You want to abuse people there? That's cool. I'll never come here again. But manners are such a big deal to me.
That's one of your standards. So you got to add that to the list.
Oh, it is. Believe me, it's a highlight at Dallas Eyes.
Have you ever hooked up with a friend's sibling?
I mean, I grew up in a small town. You kind of had to.
Okay. Fucking all the friends.
Yeah, if you can't.
Had someone watch you have sex prior to the industry? Were you very, like, exhibitionist back in the day? Were you, like, doing, like, having sex openly?
I did have a couple people watch me have sex, and I did mysteriously arrange a couple of three ways with some of my high school boyfriends.
Mysteriously. So, yes. It's very
like climbing their bedroom window with another girl.
Wow. Yeah. In high school. Nice. Naughty, naughty. Romantic questions. Making out or cuddling?
Oh.
Gotta pick one.
Making out.
Would you consider yourself a romantic?
Yes.
What's the most romantic thing you've ever done for a partner? Or a situationship?
Well, my guy that traveled, I would know where he was.
Your voice changed.
Well, just thinking about, I would know where he was going to be traveling and make sure really special baskets were in his rooms with his favorite snacks.
Okay.
Thoughtful. Things like that. When I met my ex-husband, I paid off his car. I think that's a very sweet
nice
thing
gesture.
But if you looked in my like,
you see glimpses of vulnerable Lisa, and I think that those are like the little moments of like, because I get it. I feel like you have a tough exterior wall for reasons you know are yours. But it's like when we start to talk about romantic or a thing, we're like, well, the feminine wants to come out. You're like
if you went to my Apple TV and all the movies that I buy, they're all rom coms. All, and I can rewatch them. And also, if you really want to see me ooze, like, I've been dog sitting for Archie. And when I think about Archie, my neighbor's doodle, who I love so much, I could just look at him in his tail wags.
Unconditional love. Yeah. Cut or uncut?
Doesn't matter to me at all.
If your sex life had a title of a song, what would it be?
That's a great fucking question. I think it would be, I don't know why this is the song that came to me immediately. I'm coming out. Ooh. I don't know why.
What are you coming out to, girl?
I don't know. That's the song that came into my head. Asked rapid fire. Weirdly, that's the one song.
I'll take it. Giving or receiving?
Giving.
Lights on or lights off?
On, but not too bright.
Okay.
Like not overhead dim crazy. Lighting. Like I like to go to a hotel, like flick all the lights on and I'll be like, ooh. Couple of
your candles.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Candles. Deal breakers. What are deal breakers for you in a relationship?
Of course, manners. Not taking care of yourself. You know, okay. I'm not looking for like Mr. Workout Muscle guy works out at Venice Beach every day, but when people don't take care of themselves and they get sluggish and they get sloppy, they also get irritable and it's a long-term thing. Like, I don't want to think that I'm going to take care of you because you didn't take care of yourself. That's a thing.
Favorite place to be kissed?
Probably right on my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Kisses. All right, spicy questions. Most embarrassing thing that's happened to you sexually?
Dude. Probably breaking my face while a guy doesn't come inside me.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Craziest place you had sex?
On the trellis at the old hotel that used to be in Studio City over the Swans while there was karaoke going on at the bar outside.
I like that.
Yeah,
it's setting the mood for us. Do you have a celebrity hall pass? We're not in a relationship, but if you had a celebrity that would, no matter what relationship you were in life, that you're just like, I'm gonna hook up with him, her, whoever.
I'm almost embarrassed to say it because my friends know how much
we
obsess over.
I used to have these buttons. It'd be
Jimmy
great.
Graham.
Jimmy Graham.
Okay. He's a retired NFL player, but what I love about him, you've got to follow him on Instagram.
Okay.
He does all this crazy shit. Like, he's learned how to fly planes. He just landed a plane on, like, a barge in the ocean. He lived out on a sailboat for a long period of time by himself. He's just, like, intense, biker eye, just, like, and I'm obsessed with him in a very unhealthy way. I try not to like all of his posts because I don't want to seem
so
creepy.
So is that how you start liking people's posts to get their attention?
No,
of the
I try
thing?
Not to do any of that.
Oh, okay.
I
just you don't want to ruin him to know, like, what if he talked to you? Would you be okay with that?
I would die. You know what I mean? I would legit
You're like
die.
Little girl, like, crying.
I would be like, let's go for a bike ride. Like,
that's
now.
Cute, you know? I like
yeah,
that.
He's so into cool shit.
All right, last set of questions, kinky questions. Do you have any fetishes?
No, I'm boring. Sorry to say. I do love to kiss in the shower, though.
Okay. Bondage, yes or no?
Not really.
Called someone the wrong name during sex?
Never, but oh my God, what would you do?
That's why you keep it to baby, you know, in terms of endearment. I learned that when I bartended years ago.
Yes.
Most number of times you've had sex in one day?
I want to say 7 or 8. Okay. Because I had sex with somebody in the morning that I was hanging out with, and then I went and did two scenes back to back. One was multiple, and then
you're
went back
an
home
over
and
there.
Sex them again. I was like, let's go for this. Yeah.
Hey, got it. Okay. Got it. All right, last question. favorite time of day to have sex? Are you more of a
morning? I love
morning. Okay.
I mean, I love night too, but there's just something so pure about the
morning.
Start
your day off right.
Yeah. I mean, I masturbate every morning when I wake up. I usually wake up about 30 minutes before my alarm. And instead of getting out of bed, I masturbate and let myself just lay.
Are you a Hitachi or a dildo type of girl when you're...
I didn't bring anything on this trip. It's just been me, myself, and I right here.
Okay.
And my digits do the job, but I do like...
So you're a DJ by night.
I'm a DJ by
morning. Morning.
But I
morning
like the little eggs, the little real toys, the little vibrators. I like all of those. I have a bunch of glass toys. That's like my nightstand drawer at home. I sometimes forget to travel with them.
Single girl problem.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel masturbating in the morning... is such a big deal. And I will say this. I went through a spell. This will be the first time anybody hears this out loud. I've told two of my girlfriends.
Okay.
But you're going to be going through a change in life eventually, which I've already been through. But while I was going through it, I couldn't orgasm for 10 months
scary.
Masturbating. Now, I was able to orgasm during sex. But every morning for 10 months, I still tried. And then at
you
night, I would still try. And I would get to the edge. It would be like you got to the edge, the battery ran out, right? It was like on your life. Like,
that's the worst.
Couldn't. It was like female blue balls. And so it just happened about 3 weeks ago. It was a Thursday. I'll never forget it. That I got up to do my thing. And I did it. And I came. And now I'm like, oh, my God. And it made it so exciting that I found myself multiple times a day for the first 2 weeks of it where I'd be working from home. But I'd be like, you know, why don't you come and just lay down and masturbate for a little bit? Like, 2-3 times a day, because I was so happy to be able to do it again.
Yeah.
And I think
a lot of
women go through that phase and then they stop. And I just kept reading different works about how it's so important to continue to make that happen. You know, when you orgasm, there's a chemical that's released that helps lubricate your muscles, and it really keeps you from getting arthritis. Like when my friends are walking stiff, I'm like, girl, you need a fucking orgasm. I'm like, yeah, I see it. I see it in you. I'm way older. You need to fuck up.
That's
You're
hilarious.
Too stiff. So it was important to me, and it was something that I stuck with, and I'm so glad I did, because now I'm over the hill.
Well, I'm happy for you, because if you wouldn't be organizing, that's horrible.
It was tragic. Fucking for
that's
it.
That's scary, because you just don't know when you're so used to doing it every morning in the routine.
Oh,
and then
my best friend was like, day 72, day 73, every day, I'd be like, still notes, and then finally
Free
it happened,
Lisa.
I'm like, oh my God. It is something, and look, every woman is going to go through this. The best thing you can do is embrace it. Be prepared for it. Don't let it defeat you. And remember all the brilliant women.
Keep on masturbating.
Masturbate your way through it. I swear to you.
You heard from Lisa Ann.
Masturbate your way through it.
All right. Well, that completes Truth with Texas. Is there anything you'd like to ask Miss Texas before you leave?
No, I love you so much. And I've watched your whole career and I'm so impressed with everything you've done with your life. And I cannot wait to continue to watch your journey. I know everybody that you go out there and meet is going to be positively affected by you. And I'm thrilled that there's more of us finding our next walk and enjoying to walk on it, where there was about a time where we were kind of scared. What's next? I'm not sure. Our opportunities are absolutely endless. And I can't wait to see where you take yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And thank you for pioneering ladies like myself and being able to allow us to know that we could still be a Lisa Ann or an Alexis Texas and do other things as well. So thank you for taking your time and private talk. Until next time.
This episode is sponsored by Bet Online.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.